So welcome everybody to the second mathematical physics seminar of the day. For this talk, we have Sarah Harrison from McGill, who will tell us about Borchardt's algebras in 2D string theory.
All right, great. Thank you everyone for coming. And thanks very much for the invitation to speak at the PI seminar series. So today I'm going to talk about some recent work and maybe a bit about work in progress relating a number of different subjects. One is something I'll call Borchardt's algebras, which I'll say much more about throughout the course of the talk, as well as certain physical systems that arise in string theory. And there'll also be connection to objects in number theory like automorphic forms and the subject of moonshine, if you've heard about that. So to the extent I say stuff in this talk that's about work that I've done, it's based on work with the following three collaborators: Natalie Paquette, who is currently at the IES, Daniel Persson, a professor at Chalmers in Sweden, and Roberto Volpato, a professor in Padua in Italy. And it's based on two semi-recent papers, one from a few years ago with Natalie and Roberto, and one very recent that also included Daniel, as well as a bit of work in progress that I'll talk about with all of us. Okay, so here's kind of a simple diagram about a few of the objects that are gonna appear in the talk today. One, which is in the title, are what I'll call Borchardt's Kac-Moody, or BKM for short, algebras. And these are a mathematical structure that's some kind of generalization of a Lie algebra. And they'll have connections to two other areas, the physics of certain states called BPS states, which arise in string theory and supersymmetric quantum field theory, as well as special automorphic forms of interest in number theory. But before I tell you the details about the mathematical structures and the physical scenarios I'll be considering, I'd like to start with a bit of broad motivation. And the broadest question, which I'll start with, is, and perhaps the vaguest, is what are the symmetries which underlie the structure of string theory? And more particularly, I'm going to be talking about symmetries that involve so-called BPS states, which are special representations of the super algebras or super conformal algebras, which arise in certain scenarios in string theory. And these kinds of objects have played an important role in the physics of quantum field theory, as well as string dualities. And it's also been observed that they have very interesting algebraic structures as well as connections to geometry, like deep subjects such as the Langlands correspondence, for example. And a final piece of motivation is the subject of moonshine, which broadly is a connection between certain finite groups in modular forms. And often these finite groups are one of the so-called sporadic simple groups, who kind of appear in the classification of finite simple groups as this odd set of groups that really don't fall into place with the other kinds of groups. The largest of these groups is the monster group. And one question that's sort of been around since the existence of the sporadic groups was discovered is what are the natural geometric and physical objects that they act on? And since they play a role in something called moonshine, another motivating question is if we can understand the role of these sporadic groups and the other beautiful properties that follow from observations of moonshine more physically, perhaps in the context of string theory. Okay, so perhaps the most technical thing in my title is something I called a Borchardt algebra. And so in order to explain what this is, I want to instead begin with some history and start with the following famous formula satisfied by the J function. So the J function I've listed here on this slide It's a unique modular function for SL2Z, which has the following Fourier expansion around the cusp as tau goes to I infinity. And it was observed for about 40 years ago that this first coefficient in its Fourier expansion is 196884, which is 1 plus 196883, the dimension of the smallest irreducible representation of the monster group. And this led to an explosion of very interesting mathematical observations relating the monster group to the J function, as well as more complicated algebraic structures, which have connections to conformal field theory and vertex operator algebras. However, for a long time, it was known that this J function satisfies a very beautiful identity, where if you consider J of, well, if you consider maybe the right-hand side, the following infinite product, where you take a product over 1 minus p to the m times q to the n to the power of cmn, and cmn are these coefficients in the Fourier expansion of the J function, then this product actually is equal to J of sigma minus J of tau, where sigma and tau are related to p and q in the following way. And there's actually a sort of physical or algebraic explanation for the existence of this beautiful formula due to Borchardt's. And what Borchardt showed is that this identity is something called a denominator formula for a very special infinite dimensional Lie algebra, which I'll call this curly M. And the denominator formula, if you're familiar with Lie algebras, arises very naturally for regular Lie algebras due to work of Weil and Katz, where it relates sums over simple roots of the Lie algebra, like on the left-hand side of this formula, to a product over an infinite product or non-infinite, depending on the dimension of the Lie algebra, over positive roots. So this identity for the J function, you can think of as a generalization of this Weil denominator formula for usual Lie algebras. So I'll say more about these special Borchardt's algebras later on in the talk, but just as an intro, the algebra which Borchardt's, the algebraic structure which Borchardt sort of invented, whose denominator formula is this identity, is an example of what I'll refer to as a BKM algebra, which is an infinite dimensional generalization of a Lie algebra, where we are now allowed to have simple roots alpha, which are imaginary. So their norm is less than or equal to zero. And furthermore, Borchardt showed that this algebra has a natural action of the monster sporadic group on it, thus relating it to the moonshine I mentioned previously. So I want to give a bit of background about moonshine, since it's a bit of a motivation for us, though there's much more to be said about moonshine than I will possibly say in this talk. So the reason why Borchardt invented this new algebraic structure was in order to prove the following conjectures of Conway and Norton, which, well, what I've listed here is one of a number of conjectures that go under the name of monstrous moonshine conjectures. And Conway and Norton conjectured sort of an explanation for the connection between the coefficients in the Fourier expansion of the J function to the monster sporadic group in the following way. So they posited that there exists an integer graded vector space, which I'll call V natural, and I may also sometimes refer to it as the monster module, such that each of these finite dimensional spaces, V sub N natural, form a representation of the monster group, capital N. And if you take the trace in this module of Q to the N, you get precisely the J function. And furthermore, you can extend this to a set of modular functions called the McKay-Thompson series, or which I'll denote by T sub g of tau, by taking, instead of the trace in the module, the trace with the insertion of an element g in the monster group. And what Conway and Norton conjectured was that these McKay-Thompson series, T sub g, are help modules for so-called genus zero modular groups. So these are subgroups of SL2R, where if you quotient the upper half plane by gamma, it has the topology of a Riemann sphere. And a help module is a technical name for a biholomorphic map from the from H mod gamma to the Riemann sphere. So a construction of this monster module V natural was eventually furnished by, or not eventually, but pretty quickly after the original conjectures, furnished by Frankel, Lepowski, and Merman. What they constructed is what we now call a vertex operator algebra. In physics language, you can also think of it as a chiral conformal field theory, 2D conformal field theory, which has central charge 24, and it arises from a Z2 orbifold of chiral bosons on a 24-dimensional torus, which is given by R24 mod the leak lattice. So Borchardt's proof starts with this construction due to Frankel, Lepowski, and Merman of V natural. And he starts with this, this vertex operator algebra, and uses some techniques inspired from physics and string theory to do what I'll call a BRST reduction, and I'll explain this in a bit more detail later, of V natural with some additional factors in order to construct a Lie algebra of physical states. And then he shows that there's a family of so-called twisted denominator identities arising from the structure of this Lie algebra, and the properties of these twisted denominator identities you can actually use to prove this help module property, which was conjectured by Conway and Norton. Okay, so that's a bit of a brief introduction to monstrous moonshine, which motivates some of our work. I also want to give a brief physical motivation of why we're studying these Borchardt's algebras or BKM algebras. And I'll give two examples, though there are a number of others. And they both arose in around 1995 during the duality revolution in string theory. So the first example involves a function which counts the degeneracies of black holes in type 2 string theory compactified on the manifold K3 times the 2 torus. So there's a beautiful formula due to Digraph, Verlinde, and Verlinde, which tells you the degeneracy of something called quarter BPS black holes with magnetic and electric charges P and Q. And it relates this to a contour integral, where in this denominator of the contour integral is a function I call phi 10, which is a weight 10 modular form for the group SP2Z. This is a kind of Siegel modular form, where this omega parameterizes the Siegel upper half plane. And it turns out that this phi 10, it's a denominator function of a BKM super algebra. And there's a proposal due in part to Chang and Verlinde and others that this algebra governs the physics of a quarter BPS black holes in N equals 4 string theory, including things like their degeneracies and decay processes of black holes. So this is one instance in which an automorphic form, which is the denominator function of a BKM algebra, arises very naturally in a physical context in string theory. And I'll just give one other example, which comes from something called threshold corrections in D equals 4, N equals 2 string theories, which arise from compactifying heterotic string theory on K3 times the 2 torus. So you can compute a number of terms, couplings in the effective action, which arise from the spectrum of BPS states on the world sheet of the string theory. And one such such quantity comes from the one loop renormalization of the gauge coupling in the effective action. And it contains a term that goes like log of J of roughly J of T minus J of U, where T and U are some moduli of the compactification. And this J of T minus J of U is precisely the additive side of the denominator formula for the monster Lie algebra that I showed you a few slides ago. And seeing the appearance of such automorphic functions contributing to couplings in the effective action in certain special cases in string theory led Harvey and Moore to propose that that BPS states, at least in certain contexts in string theory compactifications, may form some kind of algebraic structure, which is similar or maybe exactly a BKM algebra or some generalization. And so there are a number of other examples like this that arose around the same time, which I'm also not mentioning here. So that's sort of the motivation from string theory. And I'll give one more brief motivation that's due to the collaborators that I'm working with, which is a sort of physical interpretation or reinterpretation of the results of Borchardt's in his proof of the monstrous moonshine conjecture, which is that the monster Lie algebra naturally arises in a very special context in string theory. So if you consider heterotic string theory on an orbifold of an eight torus with the world sheet theory factorizing into V natural, the monster module, times some anti-holomorphic part, which I'll call VF natural. This will appear later, but it's not too important. And you do a similar kind of BRST reduction that Borchardt did in constructing the monster Lie algebra. They showed the space of physical states in space-time forms a module over, over the monster Lie algebra. And this genus zero property of monstrous moonshine, they reinterpret as some kind of duality groups acting on closely related string theoretic models. So I won't go into all the technical details of this, but the important thing is just to say that they sort of find a physical reinterpretation of the role of these genus zero groups, which were important in the conjectures of Conway and Norton, as duality groups in a string theory construction. And so one of the questions I want to ask today is whether there are other contexts in string theory where we can explicitly construct relations between BKM algebras, BPS states, and perhaps duality groups acting on very special string compactifications? And can this potentially give us insight into physical interpretations for other instances of moonshine? So that's kind of a broad overview of some of the motivation for the work I'm going to discuss today. And now here's an outline for the more explicit and technical part of my talk. So I'm first going to discuss the instances of new BKM superalgebras, which we construct in some of the references I mentioned in the beginning of the talk, as well as some of their denominator formulas, which have connections to automorphic forms, and the structure of the algebra, which includes things like the simple roots of the algebras. Then I'll comment on some work in progress about string theory models in which these new BKM superalgebras may arise as algebras acting on physical BPS states. And finally, I'll end with some conclusions and a bit of speculation about connections of these algebras to physics and moonshine. Okay. So, if my explanation of what BKM algebras were in the intro was a bit telegraphic, I'm going to go through a bit of detail more technically over the next few slides as I describe how we construct new examples of BKM algebras. So in the recent paper I mentioned, or a couple of papers I mentioned, we prove that that certain structures we construct are new examples of BKM superalgebras. And the way we do this is essentially by following Borchardt's construction for the Monster-Lie algebra. But instead of starting with the monster module V natural of Frankel, Lipacki, and Merman, we replace it by a supervertex operator algebra, which has central charge 12. So in the Borchardt's case, he essentially did a version of chiral bosonic string theory and computed physical states. And in our case, we do a version of chiral superstring theory rather than bosonic string theory. So we consider in parallel in this talk three different theories, three different supervertex operator algebras with central charge 12, which I'll refer to as VFE8, VF natural, and F24. And for physicists, since these are superconformal field theories that have both bosons and fermions, depending on the boundary conditions you choose for the fermions, or rather whether their grating is integer or half integer, there are two sectors, which physicists call the NS sector and the R sector. So all of these modules come with so-called canonically twisted modules, which correspond to fermions with integer grating, which physicists would call an R sector. So both the original modules and the twisted modules will play a role in the construction. So, so what are these three vertex operator algebras with central charge 12? The first one, which I call VFE8, is a theory you can think of as a theory of chiral bosons on an 8 torus given by R8 mod the root lattice of E8 plus 8 fermionic superpartners. VF natural is closely related to VF8, and in fact, it can be constructed as an Z2 orbifold of VF8. And this theory is a unique chiral supervertex operator algebra with central charge 12, which has zero fields of conformal weight a half. And it furnishes sort of an analog of the monster module, as it has a special kind of moonshine for a different sporadic group called the Conway group. And finally, what I call F24 is just a theory of 24 free chiral fermions. So these, it was proven by Kreutzig, Dunklin, and Riedler that these are three theories can be thought of as three unique self-dual supervertex operator algebras of central charge 12. So you can only consider three cases at central charge equals 12. And they all have relations to each other. So they have various symmetry groups, and you can consider orbifolding by elements of these different symmetry groups and move from one to the other of these SVOAs. So the constructions I'm going to talk about today focus on theories 2 and 3. So I want to say a bit more about their symmetries. So, yeah, question?
Sarah?
Yeah.
Maybe you're going to say this, but can you talk about, or I guess you're about to say it on the slide for VF natural. I was hoping that you'd remind us what the possible super symmetries are. Maybe you're about to say it.
Like the choices of supercurrents?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to say it for VF natural as well as F24, because that's what we focus on.
Okay. Do you have a classification for the E8 version? How many supercurrents does it have? I mean, I sort of know the other two.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So the E8 version was done by Scheitower, which is why I don't have it in my memory. But I want to say it has a unique up to isomorphism choice of n equals one supercurrent, but I'm not 100% sure. Okay. So I'll have to think about it a bit. So in the case of V, F natural, it is true that, so these theories all have supersymmetry. So once you think of them as super VOAs, you can associate with them a choice of n equals one superkermit. And it turns out that VF natural has a unique choice up to isomorphism, in that this supercurrent is preserved by the sporadic simple group called Conway 1. And so if you take, for example, a supertrace in this module, so by supertrace, I mean take the trace in the module of Q to the L naught minus C over 24 times a minus one to the fermion number. So counting bosonic states with plus signs and fermionic states with minus signs, you get a modular function for some subgroup of SL2Z. It's represented by this eta quotient. And in the Fourier expansion, the coefficients of this function are representations of the Conway group, Conway 1. So this was proven in a paper by Duncan. I don't remember the year, maybe 10 to 15 years ago. There's also a closely related SVOA which I'll call VS natural, which also has an N equals one supercurrent, but instead of being in the NS sector, it's in the Ramon sector. So you can think of it as an intertwining operator between the module itself and the twisted module. And this supercurrent is preserved by a closely related sporadic group called Conway zero, which is an automorphism group of the Leech lattice, or the automorphism group of the Leech lattice. The technical distinction between these two modules just involves whether you decide to consider the theory with an n equals one supercurrent in the NS sector or the Ramon sector. But they're both, you can sort of think of them as the supersymmetric analog of the monster module. Okay, so what do I mean by this? Well, there's particular for VS natural, there's a moonshine property that was formulated by Duncan and Matt Crane, which is a very natural analog of the genus zero property I mentioned for monstrous moonshine. So if you write this module VS natural as an infinite sum of half integer graded spaces, we can define an analog of the McKay-Thompson series, where now we insert element G of the Conway group, Conway zero, into the trace. And then for all choices of G in Conway zero, these McKay-Thompson series are what Duncan and Matt Crane call normalized Hout modules for a certain genus zero subgroup of SL2R. So you have to do this normalization just because these are in general half integer graded. You could formalize this property in a different way by considering them as vector valued modular forms. But this is the way I've stated it is the way that Duncan and Matt Crane stated it in their paper. So this leads to kind of a natural question, which is, well, in Borchers' original proof of monstrous moonshine, he was interested in proving the genus zero property in particular, and he invented a beautiful structure, which is the structure of a BKM algebra, to prove this property. And now we see that there's another instance of moonshine, sort of a supersymmetric analog of monstrous moonshine. So the natural question is there a Conway super BKM, which leads to an explanation of this genus zero property of Conway moonshine. And furthermore, I mentioned a physical sort of explanation of monstrous moonshine by collaborators, and a natural question as well is there such a similar physical construction of this Conway super BKM coming from string theory? Okay, so that's a bit about the symmetries of VS natural. I also want to talk briefly about the other SVOA, which I called F24, which is just a theory of 24 free chiral fermions. So we prove in our recent paper that F24 itself, instead of emitting only one n equals one superconformal structure, it emits eight distinct structures up to isomorphism. And these are kind of simple to construct because the theory is just composed of 24 free fermions. So there are these 24 lambdas. And in order to construct a supercurrent, you need to construct an operator of dimension 3/2. So you need to take some linear combination of operators of the form lambda cubed. And the linear combination you need to take is, well, the coefficients are restricted, and it turns out that you can prove these coefficients, Cijk, are the structure constants of a semi-simple Lie algebra of dimension, total dimension 24. And so these semi-simple Lie algebras of dimension 24 are in correspondence with the eight distinct superconformal structures that F24 admits. So the descendants of the 24 fermions are currents of dimension one, which generate an affine Katz-Moody algebra based on these semi-simple Lie algebras G, and the eight possible options I've listed here. So the simplest one is given by SU2 to the eighth, and there are a number of other more exotic ones as possibilities.
Is your question?
Yeah.
This formula looks a lot like the BRST operator for some kind of pure Gödel system. The Gödel system with Bs with no Bs, right? The formula for G of Z, doesn't it remind you of a BRST operator for a ghost system?
Perhaps. Yeah, I haven't thought of it that way.
My collaborator studied something a little similar. He called it the lonely ghost because there's only a C ghost and O B ghost.
Uh huh. Well, the C here is the number, but
the lambdas look a little bit like the C ghost.
So I mean, I don't know that I have anything interesting to say about that, but I will when we do a BRST reduction, you will see the form of the BRST operator we use, which will involve the supercurrent, but also other terms. So in the talk, I'm going to give sort of a general sketch of how you construct a BKM superalgebra, starting with each of these super VOAs. But it will turn out that we'll get distinct BKM superalgebras depending on which choice of supercurrent, superconformal structure you choose, which will be precisely because this supercurrent appears in the choice of BRST operator that we use to construct the algebra. And these BKM superalgebras we construct from F24 will have as subalgebras the corresponding affine Katz-Moody algebras I've listed here. Okay. So the main point of this part of the talk is that there's an analog of Borchardt's construction and a corresponding super BKM algebra derived from world sheet theories based on each choice of these C equals 12 SVOAs with distinct superconformal structure. So the one based on VFE8 is directly related to chiral superstring theory on an 8 torus given by R8 mod lambda E8. This was constructed by Scheitauer a while ago. And the cases for VF natural and F24 were constructed by myself and the co-authors I mentioned earlier. But I'm going to sketch the construction of each of these algebras, sort of including all of the cases at once, because you just follow the same sort of procedure in all three cases. which is essentially Borchardt's procedure as well. So let me give a sketch of the general construction of these algebras. You start with a vertex operator super algebra, which I'll call V total, which has central charge zero. And it decomposes into the product of something I'll call V matter times V ghost. The V matter part itself factorizes into a piece I'll call V internal, which is a VOA with central charge 12, times something with central charge 3, which is a lattice VOA based on the lattice gamma 1 comma 1 unimodular lattice of signature 1 comma 1. And the ghost part has central charge minus 15. It's something familiar to string theorists. You can find it in Polchinski, for example, called a BC beta gamma system. And there are also twisted modules that make an appearance in the construction, which you can think of as the Ramon sector. So in this V total, which we start with, we can choose V internal to be one of these three unique C equals 12 SVOAs. And the same procedure follows for any one we choose. So what is the procedure for constructing the physical states in this theory? You can find it essentially in Polchinski's string theory textbook, as it's quite standard, but I'll sketch sort of the outline of steps that you must perform in this procedure. So the first is that you take what physicists call a GSO projection, which is you project onto this positive subspaces of the NS and Ramon sector. And then you restrict to restrict to a space which is the intersection of the GSO projected vertex operator algebra with a kernel of the zero mode of the B ghost and the Virasoro operator. This space is triply graded by quantum numbers known as ghost number and picture number, as well as momenta in the lattice gamma 1 comma 1. And then you consider the cohomology of a nilpotent supercharge, which I'll call QBRST, which schematically takes the form C, where C is the ghost from the BC ghost system, times T, the stress energy tensor, plus gamma from the beta gamma system, times G, the supercurrent. So here you see how the choice of supercurrent appears in the construction. And this BRST operator generates the following kind of complex with corresponding cohomology spaces, which are again graded by momenta, ghost number, and picture number. And then you define the space of physical states as the space of Q closed mod exact states. And it turns out that you can prove that this takes the following form, where these H1 minus 1K, H1 minus 1 half K are these graded homology spaces after you restrict to what are called canonical ghost and picture numbers. Okay, so from this, you have constructed a space of physical states in space-time. And then the final step is to use the so-called no-ghost theorem, which tells you that there's an isomorphism between these vector spaces and the spaces, certain subspaces of states in the internal theory, where this V internal, again, is one of these three C equals 12 supervertex operator algebras. And it's slightly more subtle, the choice at zero momentum, but you can show that on a case-by-case basis. And then you can prove that the space of physical states has the structure of a Lie superalgebra with an even and odd part. So zero will be the even part of the superalgebra, one will indicate the odd part. where the even part has this, and well, both parts have grading by momenta in the lattice gamma 1-1, but the even part is this choice of picture number minus one, and the odd part is the choice of picture number minus 1/2. So a theorem that we prove for the case of BF natural and F24 in our papers, and that Scheitower proves in, for the case of BF E8, is that this the space of physical states has the structure of a BKM superalgebra. And sort of the method you use to prove this is you verify a list of properties which characterize BKM superalgebras. So instead of going through the details of proving all these properties, I'll just tell you the list of properties which essentially characterize the structure of BKM superalgebras. So here's kind of close to a mathematical definition in bullet form of what a BKM superalgebra is. So you have this Lie algebra structure where there's where the superalgebra G breaks down into the direct sum of an even and odd part. But as there are a number of properties familiar from the theory of Lie algebras, which is that there's also a triangular decomposition into a positive space, a Cartan, and a negative space. You can define Chevalier-Serre generators, which satisfy familiar relations to those of which exist for Lie algebras, as well as bilinear form, which preserves supersymmetry. Furthermore, there's a root space generated by simple roots, which also is true for Lie algebras, which allows you to write the algebra G as a direct sum of positive roots, Cartan, and negative roots. So roots can be classified as even or odd and positive and negative. But here's the first big difference from the case of usual Lie algebras, which is that there can now be imaginary simple roots whose norm is less than or equal to zero. You can again define a Weyl group, which is the group of reflections with respect to positive roots, and what we call a generalized Cartan matrix, because now roots can have negative norm. And finally, there's a form of the Weyl-Katz denominator identity, which holds for these kinds of BKM algebras, which relates an infinite product over positive roots to a sum over simple roots. And now, because we have a superalgebra, we can write two such formulas. One we refer to as the denominator and one as the superdenominator. So I'll show the formula on the next slide. So for a BKM superalgebra of the form that I described with a sum of an even and odd parts, we can, if we write M sub zero of alpha and M sub one of alpha, the multiplicities of even and odd roots, we can write the following two formulas, which encode information about the root spaces and the real and imaginary simple roots. So on the first line, it relates essentially a sum over simple roots to an infinite product over positive, even, and odd roots, except now the contribution from the odd roots appears in the denominator, whereas the even roots is in the numerator. And there's a very closely related formula called a superdenominator, where on the right-hand side in our product over odd roots, we now have a minus sign in the denominator. So in this formula, rho is a Weyl vector for the algebra. These sets delta zero plus and delta one plus are even and odd positive root sets. On the left-hand side, this W is the Weyl group of the algebra. And these T's involve the decomposition of vectors into simple roots. So the T is minus one to the height of an element mu, where the height is just the sum over simple coefficients in the expansion of alpha into simple roots. And the T prime only involves the even ones. So it's these formulas for BKM superalgebra that turn out to be intimately connected to automorphic forms for certain groups. So I'll give you two examples from the new BKM algebras that we constructed of these kinds of denominator formulas. So for the case of the Conway BKM, which involves a construction starting from VF natural as the internal theory, we can characterize this BKM superalgebra by telling you about the Cartan matrix and the set of simple roots of the algebra. So there's a ring two Cartan simple subalgebra, and the roots, you can think of them as vectors in the lattice gamma 1 comma 1. The positive roots have the following form, d comma r with d greater than 0, and the simple roots have the following structure. So the union of roots of the form 1 comma r and d comma 0 with d greater than 0. From this information, you can write down an identity for the algebra relating an infinite product to a sum. So this infinite product arises from a product over all of the positive roots, where the multiplicities of the root spaces, these 20, 48, 4, 9, 1, 5, 2, et cetera, come from coefficients in the Fourier expansion of a trace in the module VF natural. The plus and minus signs correspond to whether you're considering the denominator formula or the superdenominator. And what we find is that there's a sum side of this formula, precisely equal or precisely analogous to the beautiful formula for the J function I showed at the beginning, which relates a sum over these two different kinds of simple roots, which exist in the algebra. And it's a sum of two different modular forms for the denominator. And for the superdenominator case, where you have minus signs in this infinite product, it turns out that all these factors outside the bracket cancel and you just get 1 over 8 to the 24th. So the case of F24 is quite a bit more complicated. So I'll just tell you a few facts about the case where the n equals 1 superconformal structure we choose corresponds to A1 to the 8th. This algebra has now a rank 10 Cartan subalgebra. It has a set of even roots, which are vectors in a lattice of gamma 1, 1 plus the root lattice of A1 to the 8th. And the real simple roots are vectors which satisfy the following property. They have norm 1 and their inner product with the Weyl vector is a half. So it turns out that in this case, there are infinitely many real simple roots, unlike in the case of the Conway BKM. And there are also imaginary simple roots, which are negative integer multiples of the Weyl vector. And these all have multiplicity 8. So the denominator formula looks quite a bit more complicated in this case. I didn't even write down the product side of it because of how complicated it looks. But the product over positive roots comes from considering Fourier coefficients in the expansion of the following modular forms. For the even roots, it's the expansion of this eta quotient, and the odd roots, the expansion of this eta quotient, second eta quotient. As well as the additive side of the denominator, which takes the following form. Okay. So in the last part of the talk, I want to tell you about how this is work in progress mostly, and how we think these algebras may make an appearance in more quote unquote realistic string theory constructions. And all I mean by realistic here is that instead of starting with a world sheet theory that's chiral, I'll start with a world sheet theory that has a, both a holomorphic and an anti-holomorphic sector. So once we allow for this, there are many, many more options we can consider. So we take the anti-holomorphic sector W to be one of the three C equals 12 self-dual SVOAs. And now we can take the holomorphic sector V to be one of the same and get a type 2 theory, or we can take it to be a holomorphic C equals 24 bosonic VOA and get a heterotic theory.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So the holomorphic theory, could it have been open strings?
The holomorphic what?
The holomorphic case you discussed until now. Could it possibly have been open strings?
Just the purely holomorphic case.
Yes. In these symmetric models you're discussing.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I haven't thought about that. You mean just start with a chiral world sheet theory?
No, I'm saying if you have a non-chiral theory and you look at the deep brain in the non-chiral theory, the vertex operators you encounter for open strings will only have a chiral half, roughly.
Mm, I see. Yeah. Yeah, we haven't considered D brains in these theories at all. That's something that we would like to do further down the line. So I don't have too much to say about that at the moment.
Yeah, just suggesting perhaps you have been considering D brains until now.
Yeah. no, it's a good idea. But yeah, at this point I'm not quite at that step. So right now we're just trying to put the two pieces together in the simplest possible way. And I'll just tell you,
Sarah, in what you're about to tell us, are you always assuming this like factorization into holomorphic and anti-holomorphic parts, or are you going to eventually kind of have more complicated things that don't factor?
Well, I'm going to just talk about things which factorize into holomorphic and anti-holomorphic parts. There are many more cases you can consider as well. But right now, I'm just going to mention the possibilities where the world sheet theory is the form V times W.
Okay.
So there are a number of models you can construct of this very simple form where you can hope that these BKMs play a role in space-time physical BPS states. And one of the first things you might take a look at is what the massless spectrum and number of supersymmetries looks like in space-time. So I'll just show you these, the result for the different type 2 and heterotic models, all of the combinations which I considered on the previous slide in this factorized form. So for the type 2 models, again, you take one of the three C equals 12 self-dual VOAs and combine them in all possible ways, and you get the following kinds of space-time supersymmetries, depending on your choice of GSO projection. And then in the heterotic models, there's in principle many more than I list here. I sort of capture a number of examples at one time. So V is just needs to be a holomorphic bosonic VOA with central charge C equals 24. There's this conjecture by Schellekens that's maybe almost proven or completely proven at this point that there's 71 choices of such a thing. But all that really matters for computing the massless spectrum is the number of currents you have in the theory. So in particular, this includes not only the monster module where n is zero, but a theory based, but a number of lattice vertex operator algebras based on the Leech lattice where n is 24, or any of the Niemeyer lattices where n can be some larger number. So the physical states in these theories arise from a very similar BRST reduction to the chiral case I described, but now you're combining holomorphic and anti-holomorphic sectors. So now you have a set of space-time physical states, which is the direct sum of a number of different homology spaces where now we have total gross number two, and we have different combinations of left and right picture number, as well as left moving and right moving momentum. So that's the general structure of the space of physical states. And what we expect, and we'll show in some examples at least, is that there's an action of a BKM algebra or superalgebra on the space, subspace of BPS states in the space of physical states, at least when there's space-time supersymmetry, so we can define a BPS state, similar to the what was proven in the case where the internal theory is the monster module times VF natural, which my co-authors looked at a while ago. And you should be able to see signatures of this BKM algebra by, one way is by computing a supersymmetric index once you compactify the space-time theory on a circle. So you can define something like an elliptic genus or supersymmetric index, if you like, by computing the following trace in the space of, in the Hilbert space of the space-time theory, where in this formula, you have a H representing the Hamiltonian, and W and M are winding and momentum modes around the circle. And then depending on whether you have some kind of gauge symmetry, you can also insert some chemical potentials for the charges with respect to the gauge group or the abelian part of the gauge group. So this index roughly is some kind of side count of space-time BPS states, and we expect it should be closely related to the denominator formula or superdenominator formula of a corresponding BKM algebra, which arises from this BRST reduction of the world sheet theory in a very similar way to the case that I described for the chiral case. So I'll just give you one example of this, which is, let's consider the world sheet theory to be a V times W, where V is, calling it V lambda N, the holomorphic C equals 24 vertex operator algebra constructed from R24 mod one of the 23 Niemeyer lattices or the Leech lattice. And the anti-holomorphic part is V F natural, which doesn't play much of a role in this construction here. And if you compute this space-time BPS index, you get the following kind of infinite product form, where these W and M correspond to momentum and winding modes. I've allowed for some general chemical potentials for gauge symmetries, where the gauge group arises from the root system of the Niemeyer lattice. And the coefficients in this exponent are coefficients in the Fourier expansion of the trace in the corresponding module for the VOA based on lambda sub n. So the trace in this module is some theta function for the Niemeyer lattice over h eta to the 24th. So, and if you Fourier expand this into its coefficients are what enter into this infinite product formula. And this precisely looks like the product side of a denominator formula for a BKM, really to the 24th power. The 24 turns out to be arising from essentially from degeneracies from the Ramon ground states of VF natural, but that's not too important. And this, so the point is, this is space-time index. Precisely reproduces the denominator formula for a BKM. And we expect that something should be similar, should be true in many of these different kinds of models that I wrote down. It's more subtle if there's no space-time supersymmetry because you can't define this index. But at least in many of the cases, we should be able to relate the spectrum of BPS states on the circle to such a denominator function. So I won't say much more about that because I'm basically out of time. I'd like to end, briefly conclude with a couple of speculations. So first, this brief summary, I've sketched the construction of some new examples of super BKM algebras and how they might arise in string compactifications to two dimensions when you consider a holomorphically factorized world sheet theory. And our hope is that these simple systems will be useful for exploring and understanding maybe the broader role of BKM algebras or BPS algebras in certain special instances in string theory. And we expect that these different algebras may have some maybe unexpected relations to each other once we consider the full physical string theory setting by considering the action of string duality groups. And this may arise from some of the close, in the type 2 case at least, from some of the close relations at the SVOA level between these theories via orbifolding folding by different symmetries. So I'd like to make two speculative comments. The first one involves the role of automorphic forms in the story, which I didn't get to say much about. So the denominator function that that I roughly described for the algebra based on A1 to the eighth arises from an expansion of an automorphic form for the following group, which has multiple cusps. And if you expand at what's called the level two cusp of this group, you get the denominator function for this A1 to the eighth algebra. But you can also expand this automorphic form psi at a different cusp, and you get a denominator function for a different BKM, the one constructed by Scheitower based on VFE8. And these different expansions are related by transformations in this discrete group gamma, which is based on a lattice automorphism group, which I didn't write down. So these kinds of discrete transformations have a physical interpretation in string theory as a duality transformation. And a very similar phenomenon occurs for the Conway BKM and a different automorphic form. So there are two cusps of this automorphic form. And in fact, at another cusp, so on one cusp is the denominator formula for the Conway BKM. At another cusp, there's a denominator formula, which we've proven, for which we conjecture is a denominator formula of a super BKM, which we didn't construct. So in both of these instances, there seem to be relations between different BKM algebras and Fourier expansions of automorphic forms at different cusps. So physically, this kind of phenomenon has occurred before, and the cusps are interpreted as different perturbative duality frames where the states in the Fourier expansion at one cusp are perturbative BPS states, and the states associated with the other cusp are non-perturbative in the frame of the first cusp. So it would be interesting to explore relations between these different algebras in such a light. And this is the final comment I want to make, which has particular, is particularly about the case of the Conway BKM based on VS natural. So the vertex operator algebra, really its Ramon sector has a VS natural, has a close relation to the elliptic genus of nonlinear sigma models on K3 surfaces. This is due to a construction of Duncan and McCrane. So you can define essentially an n equals 4 superconformal algebra in the Ramon sector and consider the following trace, and you precisely get the elliptic genus of K3. And in their construction, you can also reproduce many McKay-Thompson series associated with Mathieu Moonshine, which relates the elliptic genus of K3 to the Mathieu group M24. On the other hand, the superdenominator of the Conway BKM, which I showed earlier, is precisely 1 over 8 to the 24th, which is also closely related to K3 surfaces in a number of ways. One way is that it's the generating function of Euler characteristics of sim n K3, and it's also the spectrum of half BPS states in string theory on K3 times T2. So one natural question is if there's a duality frame in which the physical appearance of the Conway-BKM algebra involves compactification of a K3 surface, maybe an orbifold of K3 times T4. A greater dream that's not so obvious to me right now, how to make it work, is if there's a connection between these constructions and Mathieu Moonshine itself. And so I'll end with that comment and open question. Thank you very much for listening to my talk. Thanks. So let me know if you have any questions.
Any further questions? We had a few during the talk.
So. Yeah.
I don't see further questions. I think we should thank Sarah for the excellent talk. And